Well, hello. Our sermon text today is taken from the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 11 in verse 4, which reads in part, "Come, let us build ourselves a city." Now, first we want to get the context of this. So we're going to do a little bit of teaching and then we're going to get into our applications. So we're going to begin reading in Genesis chapter 11 in verse 1. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And we know that that language was Hebrew because every name and place in Genesis chapters 1 through 10 only means something in the Hebrew language. Genesis chapter 11 and verse 2 reads, "And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there." So this plain in the land of Shinar was in the land of ancient Mesopotamia. That's what we call the cradle of civilization. This is Babylon, modern day Iraq. And these folks who settled there were led by a certain man named Nimrod. And we read about him in the previous chapter that Cush begot Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one on the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Therefore, it is said, like Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel. In Genesis chapter 11 and verse 3, we read, "Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone and they had asphalt for mortar." So these folks were thinking that they were doing everything all on their own, all of their own resources being used, but in fact they were using the natural resources of the land. These were resources that they had been using that God had put there. We might say that these were resources on loan from God, but they thought that these resources were owned by them. And many of us fall into that trap ourselves. Continuing in the narrative, "And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth." So here we come to the place where our text is. And what these folks under Nimrod sought to do was to create a center of humanity, a place where humanism could be practiced and man could be exalted, not only civilly, but there's a religious component here, this idea of building up a tower that's going to reach to the heavens. This reminds us of the ancient ziggurats, the ancient temples that would be built as high as they could go, thinking that if man could build them high enough, they could get a little bit closer to the gods and they could get their favor. But in this case, they weren't necessarily first and foremost thinking about the gods, but they were thinking about themselves. They were idolizing themselves. So we see that humanism is a religion. It is that of making man into an idol and effectually into one's own god. But then we read, "But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built." So this tower is finished, this great big tower, and as high as man could build it, God still had to come down to see it because he was way, way higher up than that. He was up there in the third heaven. So he had to come down a good ways to come and get a look at this monstrosity. And we read in Genesis chapter 11 and verse 6, "And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one and they all have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them." So the idea here is that unity amongst men bent on evil, idolatry, and self-worship will simply progress to greater levels of evil. And we've got a verse like that in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. And the Lord inspires Moses to write this with regard to the conditions on earth right before the flood. "And then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language that they may not understand one another's speech. So God in his plurality, let us, came down and supernaturally confounded the people, and that they began speaking and understanding different languages and not just Hebrew. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. So the communication was broken, the evil fellowship was broken, the city was never finished, and the people were dispersed. So this is the natural consequence of when any individual, any group of individuals, or any nation, even the whole world, decides they're going to go and do something that is in opposition to the God of all. And therefore, the name, its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. So Babel, of course, means confusion, and the people were widely dispersed throughout the earth, and Nimrod's clan went on to build some more great cities, nothing like this ill-fated Babel Tower city project. In fact, in Genesis chapter 10 and verse 11, we read that they went over into the region of Assyria and they built Nineveh and a few other cities. So having explained our text, come let us build ourselves a city, and placed it in a full context, we're going to have a single applicational thesis, and we're going to look at it on three levels. The thesis is this, that men will never succeed in building a legacy apart from God, either nationally or globally or personally. First, man will never build himself a city nationally apart from God. And there's a very interesting narrative, a true historical narrative, that we find here in the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 4, beginning in verse 28, where we read, all this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. Now, King Nebuchadnezzar, he's the this great king, this king over the first great world empire, which was centered, yeah, you guessed it, in Babylon. At the end of the 12 months, he was walking about the royal palace of Babylon. And the king spoke, saying, is not this great Babylon that I built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven. King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken. The kingdom is departed from you, and they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen, and seven times shall pass over you, until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. That very hour, the word was fulfilled concerning Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men and ate grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hair had grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. So Nebuchadnezzar comes to his senses and winds up praising the God of heaven. He's abased, he's humbled, and he finally does come around. It doesn't always happen that way, but it did so in his particular case. Now, we read in the 33rd Psalm, Psalm 33, we read this in verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. And here it is again in Psalm 33:13. The Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. So just like the Lord was looking down on that tower and that city, the Lord's looking down from heaven upon all the sons of men. He's looking down on us to see what's going on, what kind of foolishness we're getting involved in. From the place of his dwelling, he looks on all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions their hearts individually. He considers all their works. No king is saved by the multitude of an army. A mighty man is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a vain hope for safety. Neither shall it deliver any by its great strength. So let us take heed in our country to remember the roots of our nation, our Christian roots, and the God who blessed us and made us great. Let us not seek to build ourselves a great godless state, for the state which we think will make us master, apart from God, will soon master us. Our second point this morning is that man will never build himself a city globally apart from God. Back in Genesis chapter 11, Nimrod and the people utterly failed. The League of Nations, how are they getting along these days? How about the World Health Organization? The United Nations, they pride themselves on keeping peace, and yet they have presided over the century of war and oppression. Can it be said of them what Micah writes? They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Dear friends, a global paradise is coming, but we shall not see it until the tribulation comes first. And we've got a very, very sobering warning in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 through 8, tells us about the first four seals, seal judgments. And they deal with the coming of the Antichrist in the first half of the seven-year tribulation, which is to come. Now I saw, when the land opened, one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him. And he went on conquering and to conquer. So this Antichrist guy here, he's going out there, and he's on a white horse. He's a nice, shiny white horse. He's got some good polished speech. It sounds good. He's saying peace, 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 and everyone's jumping on the bandwagon here. But the other shoe's about to drop. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, "Come and see." Another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword. And friends, it's going to get even worse after that. When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come and see." So I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius, and three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine." And when he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, "Come and see." So I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and the name of him who sat on it was Death. And Hades followed with him, and power was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth. This, friends, is the end of man building himself a global city. That's where that gets us. Tyrannical rule. Ultimately, tyrannical rule by the Antichrist. But our hope is in the messianic rule. Christ on his throne, who truly shall reign in that day, of which it is written, Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow to it. Many nations shall come and say, Come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion the law shall go forth, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between many peoples and rebuke strong nations afar off. And here it's going to happen when Christ is on his throne, that they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not live up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. But everyone shall sit under his vine and under his fig tree. And no one shall make them afraid. For the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. For all people walk each in the name of his God. But we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. And we're going to live and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. Just as it says right in the book in Revelation chapter 20 verses 4 through 6. Finally, man will never build himself a city, a personal legacy, apart from Jesus Christ. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. The best human knowledge, all of the books in the bookshelf and the degrees on the wall, all of the best of human philosophy, even if you've studied all world religions, including humanism, the most self-reliant skills, whether they be strength or field of work or will not do it for you in the end. In the end, your soul shall be required of you, and then what shall you say? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. So let us be building up ourselves a spiritual city. Balaam said, Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my end be like his. His observation was true. The righteous are about the business of building up their towers, knowing that God shall come down to see, not for judgment, but to stretch out the hand with the nail print in fellowship to receive us to himself. Dear Heavenly Father, may we learn the lessons of the Tower of Babel. We know that all of these things are written for our instruction and our correction. Lord God, may we take heed that we see things nationally, globally, in this world, the way that you see them, through your eyes and not through the rose-colored glasses of humanism. We pray that we, more than anything, personalize and internalize the lessons that we find here. Lord, we ask your aid in building up ourselves as a tower, as temples of the Holy Spirit, that you might come down and see and be pleased with our faith and with our conduct. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.